Let's talk some NBA now, and the NBA season nicely underway, thank goodness. From SheridanHoops.com, veteran basketball writer Chris Sheridan joining us this evening. Chris, season's greetings to you, and let's talk about what we've seen in the first couple of days of the NBA season. Chris, pretty intriguing, especially when you take a look at the Los Angeles Lakers. I know your website was talking about them and the challenge they have tonight against Utah, but it's early in the year, but hey, it's a 66-game season. It's never too early to panic in Los Angeles, I guess, eh?
No, they were panicking after that first one, and then they went up to Sacramento last night and lost up there for the first time in years, and tonight they play again. They're the first team that plays three games in three nights, and they play Utah, and an 0-3 start, you know, they really will be panicky. The Lakers have the most panicky fans in the NBA, Roger, and they have some reason to panic because with what happened with them in this preseason, one night they thought they were getting Chris Paul, and then, boom, the rug got pulled out from under them, and the trade got voided. They weren't getting Chris Paul. Then they gave away Lamar Odom for nothing. And I think they did that because they thought they were going to be able to bring in another player in a trade. That player was probably Dwight Howard. But the Orlando Magic have put those any kind of Dwight Howard trade talks on hold. And so here the Lakers are with a lesser team than the one that got swept out of the playoffs last year, because Lamar Odom is still a pretty good player. And people around the Lakers are saying, hey, what's going on here? How are you going to let the team get worse? We're supposed to compete for a championship every season, and the Lakers usually do. So I think that's one of the reasons, Roger, why they do have such a high level of panic, is because of the amount of success they've had over the years.
Well, it makes sense. So what do they do while they wait maybe for Orlando to change their mind about Howard? I mean, as that roster is presently constructed, how good a basketball team are they in your mind, Chris?
Well, let's not forget they've played the first two games without Andrew Bynum. He's missing the first four because of the suspension that he got for a dirty knockdown of J.J. Barea the night they got swept last spring. So there'll be a different team with Andrew Bynum out there. You never really know what you're going to get from night to night from Ron Artest, but you do know you're going to get effort out of them in the big games and in the playoff games. But, you know, he's a real wild card. Kobe, you know what you're going to get. I mean, this guy is still the most consistent big-time player in the NBA. If anybody saw that game on Sunday against the Bulls, Kobe had three guys on him when he went for the final shot, and that was still the play. And, like, he's still a guy you know at the end of a tight game is going to always, always get the ball. So they have him, and they have Pau Gasol, who had a bad playoff last year, but he's 31, so he's not really over the hill by any means. They have a nice roster. They're still using Derek Fisher and Steve Blake as a two-headed point guard, and it's not the greatest thing. And look, they're not up there in the top echelon of the West, but anybody can beat anybody in the West, and there's a lot of good teams out there. So, you know, they got to settle down, and they got to get Bynum back, and maybe remind themselves that, hey, it was 5 years ago that the Dallas Mavericks opened 0-4, and the Dallas Mavericks went to the NBA Finals that year. So even though that was an 82-game season and this is a 66-game season, there's still a lot of basketball to be played, and there's going to be a lot of it on a lot of nights. So you got to bear down, and you got to, you know, get that first win and then pace yourself and get yourself back to 500 and move from there.
Yeah, there's a lot of basketball and a lot of nights in the Lakers, as you said, the first team playing 3-3. And speaking of the Mavericks, and you alluded to them, have also started the year 0-2. And people wondering what the story is in Dallas. Now, Chandler's departure, they did lose some pieces from that championship team last year. But what's the story in Dallas so far, Chris?
Well, yeah, they lost Chandler, and they replaced him with Lamar Odom. Not really, because they're still starting Brendan Haywood at center. But Lamar Odom is probably going to end up being their center. And look, Tyson Chandler was a key defensive player for them, and when they were able to slow the tempo against Miami in the finals, he really made a big difference because he really didn't have anybody he had to guard on Miami, so he could roam a little bit and he could alter the shots of Miami's, you know, big three players. So Chandler was probably more important against Miami than he was against any other team, and Mark Cuban actually offered him a 1-year $20 million deal. And Tyson turned it down because he got almost three times that amount from the Knicks. But what's going on with that is Mark Cuban wants to add $20 million in cap room next summer, because with that kind of cap room, you can go get yourself a max player, whether that player is Deron Williams, who's from Dallas, or Dwight Howard, who can opt out of his contract If you have the means to get him with max salary space, then you go and you try to do that, especially if you're in a position where, you know, one of your best players is Jason Kidd, who's at the end of his career, and another one is Dirk Nowitzki, who's on the wrong side of 30, as they say, and he's not getting any younger. So the Mavericks looked at it as, look, as nice as it was to win the championship, you don't want to keep the guys together too long and have it lead to 2-3 years of a lack of success. And that's what happened to the Miami Heat when they kept their championship team together in 2006. Pat Riley felt he owed it to them, but a lot of those guys shouldn't have been kept around for another year, and the Heat really suffered until the summer of LeBron. But before the summer of LeBron, that was a bad basketball team for 2 years, Roger.
It was, for sure. Chris Sheridan is with us from SheridanHoops.com. Roger Lajoie with you here. It is Sportsnet tonight on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. So we talk about the West. We start with the Mavericks and the Lakers. Lakers are the dramatic team, and the Mavericks, of course, are the defending champions. But in the minds of many, Chris, it's the Oklahoma City Thunder's year to step up. Didn't look terribly impressive beating Minnesota 104-100 the other night, but are 2-0 to start the season. And I see you've got them number two in your power rankings. Talk about them.
Well, I watched their game against Minnesota last night, and Minnesota played pretty well. I was watching Minnesota just a few minutes ago. They're just starting against the Bucks tonight because I got them as kind of a sleeper team. Everybody thought, oh, the Hornets, you know, they have Minnesota's draft pick, so, you know, they did great in the Chris Paul trade because that's definitely going to be a lottery pick. Well, I'm not so sure. The West is so balanced from, like, 6 down to maybe 14, 15, that Minnesota could be a team that could be in playoff contention all season long. So it was a good quality road win for Oklahoma City, and they did it one night after they beat the Orlando Magic, which is not a bad team, and they made them look terrible. So, look, I think Oklahoma City's going to the finals. They're my pick this year, and I really like the Memphis Grizzlies a lot, and they didn't show me much last night, but they're going to be a little more skittish today than the Thunder are going to be. The Thunder now have been together for a couple years together. They're key guys. Russell Westbrook is, you know, he's a top 5-6 point guard in the NBA, and Kevin Durant's the 2-time scoring leader. And they got a guy in Kendrick Perkins. When he was with the Celtics, he was the only guy who could guard Dwight Howard in the whole conference. And he's come back even stronger this year. He's taken off a lot of fat, and he's added a lot of muscle. And they got a prolific scorer off the bench in James Harden, who he's been in the league, I think it's his fourth year, and he's finally coming into his own. And they just really have a solid, complete team. And when you have a talent like Durant, a guy who's 6'10", he might even be 6'11", with a perimeter game like he has, and, you know, he's got an inside-outside game, let's face it, but he's deadly from the perimeter. You're going to win a lot of ball games with a guy who shoots the ball like he does. He can score like Kobe, and there's, you know, very few guys in the league that you can say can score like Kobe.
Yeah, that's true. San Antonio beat Memphis. You referred to them by 13 points in San Antonio, and we talked about the Spurs last time you visited with us. Tough team to get a read on, Chris, because you talk about keeping a core around too long, but some way the Spurs win basketball games, don't they?
Yeah, and, you know, as old as their core is, that's only three guys, and Jefferson's Richard Jefferson, I guess, is a semi piece of their core, but everybody else on that team is a kid. I think Tiago Splitter might be the next oldest guy on the team, if I'm not mistaken. Antonio McDyess is gone. He's retired. So, yeah, their core is old, but there's a lot of other guys around them, and Greg Popovich is a great coach. He doesn't get the credit he deserves, but their stuff works. They play an offense that's different than everybody else's offense in the NBA. It's very baseline-oriented. I don't want to get too technical because guys will turn the dial, but San Antonio runs our offense very, very well. And Tony Parker is still, at his age, still one of the speediest point guards in the league. And Manu Ginobili is a warrior. And Tim Duncan, you know what you're going to get from him. You just don't know how much you can use him and keep him fresh for the playoffs. So people forget, this is a team that won 61 games last year, Roger. The Spurs were very, very good. And then Manu got hurt in the last regular season game, and they got knocked out in the first round by the Grizzlies. But they're a commodity every year, and as long as they have those three guys, it takes three really great players to win titles. The Spurs have three really great players. None of them are in their prime anymore, but they're still very great, great players.
And the Chicago Bulls, how about them? You have them number one. The Warriors beat them 99-91. It's one game. It's early into the season. But, I mean, it's hard to disagree and make an argument against Chicago or Miami in the East this year, or is it?
Well, right now, 1-1, they're not hanging on to their number one spot. And I've been watching the Miami-Boston game tonight, and Miami was just rocking and rolling again in the first quarter. They put up a bunch of points, and they're playing a much more up-tempo style, it seems, this season than they did last year. They played a lot in the half court last year, and they didn't really dictate the tempo the way they should, because not only are LeBron James and Dwayne Wade two of the greatest players in the game, they're two of the most outlandish open court players you've ever seen. They get so much great stuff done in the open court that the Heat realized we got to do that a little bit more this season and get these guys fast break opportunities and transition opportunities and try to play higher scoring ball games. And there might come a playoff series where we're not able to do that just because of the construction of the opponent, and that's sort of what happened against Dallas. But in the meantime, let's get used to playing, you know, as fast as we can, and play to our strengths, because we have a lot of them, and you know, we'll be a dominant team like we were last year. It's just a matter of getting past that, maybe that mental barrier that they ran up against in the finals. But right now, I'm telling you, the Miami Heat, if they win this game big tonight, like it looks like they're on the way to. Well, it's a little early to say that because the Celtics are a very resilient team, but they don't have Pierce tonight, and I expect the Heat to win. I think Miami might be the number one team in the power rankings next week, but again, there's so much basketball to be played between now and Sunday when those go up on the site. We'll see. But, you know, that team, as soon as they signed LeBron James and Chris Bosh, you knew they were going to be a beast, and they're still a beast. And I don't think they're quite as dislikable as they were a year ago. I think that's really the big change that you see nationally in the States.
I think people are kind of used to it now, Chris, for sure. Chris Sheridan's great site is SheridanHoops.com. Joins us on a regular basis here on Sportsnet tonight, and we appreciate his insight as always. Chris, thank you, and have a happy 2012. Really appreciate your time.
Thank you very much, Roger, and thank you again for the plug.
Oh, happy to. Thank you. Chris Sheridan.